Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. Welcome to this episode on the magic of the wait cue. This AV technique truly is magical, and I trust that by the end of this episode, you too will be inspired to use it. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age-appropriate or ahead-of-age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. And don't forget to look at the show notes below for resources on this topic. There are a number of specific techniques that we use in auditory verbal therapy to instill the habit of listening and talking in our children who are deaf or hard of hearing. We refer to these techniques as auditory verbal techniques or AV techniques. Sabotage is one of them. We've talked about the AV technique sabotage before in the episodes about auditory verbal therapy and are we prejudging our toddler? This episode centers around another AV technique, the wait cue. It is what its name suggests. We wait and wait. And you will recall that the episode with Warren Estabrooks has us discussing this and discussing how awfully difficult it is to implement. As we engage with our child who is deaf or hard of hearing, we wait and wait and wait, or at least we should be waiting, to allow the child to process what was said or to think through what was presented or said, or to respond verbally. And this, as I say, is equally applicable to all young children. Partnering me in this conversation on the wait queue is Nicole Glazebrook, one of my professional students at the LearnAVT training course that I run. Nicole is an early interventionist in the USA, and she is both very creative and enthusiastic. And Nicole was very clear that she wanted to talk about the magic of the wait queue. So here we are. I'm delighted. And welcome, Nicole. Let's begin.
I have to say, I'm curious about your choice of topic. I think it's a fantastic name you came up with.
The magic of the wait queue.
But why? What made you choose the wait queue of all the auditory verbal techniques to talk about?
Well, when I took your auditory verbal course last year, LearnAVT course, this is one that before I even had any skills in AVT, I've been very encouraging of parents to try and use because it's simple and yet it's not something that everybody does. But when they are able to, I don't want to say perfect using it, but remember and intentionally use the wait cue, there's a lot of almost magic that can happen.
Because I can't agree with you more. But you know, Kirstie, you said it was simple. Did you find it simple? Because personally, I found it really hard. Really hard.
So hard, actually. No, I don't think it is simple. But sometimes at first, when you suggest that to parents, and if you're not explaining why, which we always should try and do with anything, but just, oh, yeah, sure, I wait, I pause. Well, let's try it and see how it feels. And I think we're taught as just humans that silence is uncomfortable and we have to try and fill it. And life is really fast and there's lots of other people in the house sometimes. And you're not always able to pause and wait and give that space that is so beneficial for kiddos learning language and learning to listen, to have that time to process.
Yeah, and I remember discussing this with a very senior therapist whom I love when I was visiting the Shepherd Center in Sydney, in Australia. And I remember her saying, Shefali, you know, just keep at it because it just comes with confidence. And I felt like saying, yeah, thanks, but how do I get there? You know, I mean, it's like you learn to swim by swimming kind of thing. But I keep coming back to what she said, and I can't agree with her more because it's like you grow comfortable in your own skin, you know, as a therapist, as a parent, even in your relationship with your child. Well, firstly, let me say in your relationship with yourself, and then in your relationship with the child, if one is talking from a parent perspective. And then even in one's relationship with the family and the child together, as if one is a therapist. But it just takes, I'm waiting myself as I'm talking here, because it takes a lot of reflection, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. And I do feel, you know, as a parent, as a therapist, when I know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, then there is that time to practice. And that does give you more confidence. I think having a reason for what you're doing, and then it almost becomes reinforcing because when you're able to incorporate waiting and do it in an intentional way, then you will start to see, you know, more communication, more initiation. And then that's reinforcing of, oh, this does work. And then
why does that happen, do you think? Like more initiation, or why? Why does that happen?
Well, it's that space. It's that space to have it. We don't always have that space to start that conversation, to say what you're interested in. And then that child will see, oh, what I have to say is important. And my caregiver is interested in what I want to say. And that's more reinforcing.
Yeah. And then it's like we're listening to each other. We're really listening to each other. And we're giving ourselves the space to really to think. And I think it's, you know, I don't know the answer. Or maybe the answers aren't coming pat, and that's okay. That's absolutely okay. And that's life, I think. You know, I think it's such an important life skill as well.
Yeah, I like to ask parents when I think that waiting might be beneficial for their interaction with their child. I ask them, who do you like speaking with and why? And a lot of times they say, oh, someone who's a good listener. That seems to be a universal thing. And then also like someone who understands me, someone who really sees me and understands me. And I think that's such a basic human need. And it's so basic from the very beginning, from babies, is just to be seen and understood. And you might not understand your baby, but if you're waiting, you're able to observe them. You're able to tune into them. You're able to observe, because sometimes communication is as simple as a glance, and that is true communication. And then the more you interact in that way, someone wants to communicate with you. Someone wants to do what they can to help you understand them. And
not to be rushed, but more importantly, not to feel rushed.
There might not be communication in that moment when you're practicing your waiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might just be silence.
Yeah.
And to be comfortable in that silence is okay too, because that person still wants to be with you whether you're speaking or not, or communicating or not.
But I think that's so critical to human interaction, or even to deep relationships, that ability to just be quiet. Firstly, to be quiet within oneself, but also to be quiet with each other. And that doesn't always mean that one is not talking. Sometimes it means it one is not talking and one is waiting. But it just means that, as you said, you know, one is listening.
And here for you in any aspect that you're willing to show up. And, you know, to be caregiver, child.
Yeah. I'm annoyed with myself that I continue to be surprised by it. Because by now I keep telling myself, you know, well, that's the power of the wait cue. As you say, you know, that's exactly what the title is about. But every time it happens, I always marvel and hold my breath, because so much of what I would have maybe gone blabbering about is no longer necessary, because the child has had the time and the silence and the space within which to do her own thinking and to figure it out. Maybe not the way we would have. Yeah, trust. That's a good point, actually. So who are we trusting?
Trusting your caregiver is there for you. Trusting that they believe that you are capable and competent, even if, you know, words aren't coming out in the way that a parent might expect them to come out, but from a child at a certain time or a certain age. I think expectation is also, well, in this instance, it's you're waiting in an intentional way. You're expecting, you know, you lean forward, you raise your eyebrows, and it's a deliberate wait. It's not just I'm washing dishes and I stopped talking and now I'm expecting you to do something.
You wait until it hurts. I remember Warren's always telling me, Shefali, wait until it hurts, but it really does hurt.
I do, like, I think 10 seconds is what, you know, I kind of suggest to try and just to see how 10 seconds feels. And it does hurt. We're just so programmed that, you know, as therapists, you know, give all the information, because that's your job. You are this person that is inserting information into a vessel, but it's really not that. Like, that's not selection. That's not conversation. It's a give and take. And like, this is the waiting, the taking part. And you don't always have to give, but this isn't something that.
But you are taking. But we are actually giving. That's the beauty of it. We're giving far more when we wait often than when we talk. I think so. Because one is, especially if one puts out the thought or one puts out the question and then you wait, because as you said, you trust that the child has heard, the child has understood, the child is paying attention, and the child wants to communicate. And therefore, all that coming together, the child will come through. So I think in that, that's a lot of giving.
It is a lot of giving. And so giving is not just information. It's giving of space. And
I think it also releases the angst and the, you know, go, go, go kind of thing that sometimes I think this generation of children willy-nilly are confronting on a daily basis. And then we say, oh, you know, we need to relax and we need to calm down. But at what pace are we interacting with them? Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying the waiting is, I mean, it is a slowing down. It's a slowing down of the pace. Slowing down. You're just not having to have a certain number of interactions. It's just you pause and you wait. You are just slowing everything down. And then you can be a more intentional person when you're waiting as you observe. And
coming back to that slowing everything down, isn't the slowing down the externality of it? Because internally, one is actually doing a lot of thinking, maybe reflecting, questioning, don't you think? I mean, it's quite a philosophical angle to take, I know. But
because as you pause, yeah, you're not just not thinking or not reflecting or not observing. You are completely probably in yourself and
very engaged.
Of course, right?
No, and I think it requires the person one is waiting on or the person that one is waiting with to be really engaged, isn't it? Because they're kind of kicking in. It's just that we can't see it. And that I think, sorry, go ahead.
I'm not waiting.
Okay, I'll go. And that I think was the reason why, say, as a less experienced therapist, I would get anxious about. Because is anything happening? Do I need to repeat myself? Did he not understand? Did the mother not quite get what I said? But of course they have. And if they haven't, they'll let me know by their behavior, by their glance. It'll become apparent. And it's okay if they haven't got it. That's the point. It's okay. You know, the the earth doesn't come to a grinding halt if just because one has had to wait.
There's an organization in Toronto that is called the Hannon Center, and they're early childhood educators.
Yeah.
I've taken a few of their trainings, and one of the strategies they often use to teach parents, because the Hannon program is geared towards training therapists and teachers to train parents and people who are working with parent coaching, and they use this acronym OWL, and it's observe, wait, and listen. And it really is just paralleling this whole conversation of being able to observe. You know, you're face to face. That is one of our, you know, other strategies we talk about.
Exactly.
And you're face to face so that you can observe, so you can see what's happening on the child's face, on the parent's face. And you can make observations that might not be evident. Did they get it? Did they not get it? Are they trying to say something? Are they trying to show something? And then obviously the waiting is part of that, like we're discussing. And then the listening obviously is just happening. And the listening is like the observing. I feel like it is another cycle of just you're able to really listen when you're waiting, when you're observing. It is true listening. And I like that as also a reminder cue. You know, some people put like little owls as a visual cue, as like, this is something I need to really do with this family, with this child. So hard. And I do really like, I feel like for any family, any, you know, whether you are learning ABT or you have speech delay or you're just simply interacting with someone, just humaning, just using owl to just kind of guide you. And all these things just come from it. Just being able to trust and listen and reflect.
And talking about the speech part of it, it works wonders when one is working on speech as well, because it allows the child to really hear herself having said whatever it is that she has said, reflect on whether that was what was modeled, or she hasn't said anything, to think about, you know, what was said and what is expected of her, and then she can imitate it. And that you could call it auditory processing time that they have as a result of being allowed to just pause. And because we have waited, that they have that the luxury of that auditory processing time. But they're actually able to figure it out for themselves. And even in auditory memory, when we're working on auditory memory, it allows you the space to remember, you know, and not to be cluttered with talk that is going on, because that so often clutters things up.
Which just reminds me of like quality over quantity.
Exactly.
Just thinking about the quality of the models you're providing and the interaction that you're providing has so much more quality to it, because there is that time to process and there's so much value in just listening and understanding. But because it's not shown maybe in that moment that like, oh, that's not important. You know, the speaking is the important thing, or the expressing is the important thing. And obviously we know, as we're analyzing things like this, that that's obviously not the case. Sometimes too much quantity does just cloud up everything and muddle up the actual meaningful message or the meaning that you're trying to understand.
Yeah. And in order to get to that stage of talking or being conversationally very competent, one has to have waited, you know, and one continues to, and now I'm waiting and thinking about my own thoughts, but one needs to continue to wait on oneself and on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just think it's really, because it just solves everything, you know, without anything becoming a problem.
It really does, though. I mean, if the foundation of communication is a relationship and interaction, it really does solve for a lot. Because if you're in a trusting relationship with someone, the other problems can be worked on. The other things can be resolved or learned because that foundation is there.
But so coming, I think you made a very good point, because I really do believe that auditory verbal therapy, you know, people talk about auditory verbal therapy as being a way of life. And yes, it is. But I think for me, it is a relationship. It's a relationship that we have. It's a relationship that we build for our children and for our families. And it's a relationship we keep working at.
Thank you so much for your interest and time and for listening into this episode all the way to the end. The one thought I'd like to leave you with as you ponder on your use of the wait cue is that the beauty of the wait cue is that it gives our child the time and space to process what was said and to design a response and eventually to deliver it. I highly recommend you try it. But know that it's going to take a lot of practice. It certainly is worth it. Coming up next on this podcast is the episode, Living Your Targets. I think it's a really useful episode to listen to, so make sure that you're there. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Shefali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.